Well, I'm here to introduce the speaker this hour. Those who may not know him, he comes from a pedigree of preachers. He has a great pedigree, him and his uncle, his father. We have known him for several years now. He always exemplified a leader. Even on the wherever he goes, on the basketball court, football field, he's always the one that calls the plays. But here we get to see him lead us in a gospel sermon. And it's an honor of mine to be able to introduce him. He's been a friend to me since day one. I mean, he's a loving guy. He my wife is crazy about how he sings, even though I'm a song leader. She don't talk like that about me, but it's all right, though. It's all right. But I'm excited to introduce Brother Anthony Dishman.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that introduction, brother. It is certainly good to be back home once again. This is my first time having to call Virginia home. I'm originally from Rockford, Illinois, and I've always called that place home. And I guess it is true what they say, home is where the heart is. And you good people have certainly won my heart over. So I thank you for all that you have done for me. A lot of you, you sent baskets, you sent cards, your support letters. I thank you so much for all that you continue to do. It's good to see all of you that have decided to come back here with us tonight. We have Brother Mark from Smithfield Church of Christ. They are one of my supporters as well. We certainly appreciate you and all that you continue to do for me. The church as we know it is under attack. Christians as we know it, we are under attack. And what do you do when you prepare, when you know that there's an attack coming upon you? What do? You prepare yourself for that attack that is coming on, and you armor yourself, and you get your weapons, and you prepare for that attack so they do not catch you off guard. More now than ever, it is so important for us to equip ourselves with the Word of God. The Bible is our sword. That is the only weapon that we need. The world would have us to be deceived of many things. The world would have us to believe that the government has all power and authority. But we know by reading the Bible that Jesus has all power and authority. It cannot be both. It has to be one. And if I'm going to choose, I'm going to choose the Bible. I don't know about you, but that's what I choose. The world would have us to think that our success is measured by the amount of money or currency that you can accumulate over a period of time. But we know that that is not the case. Our success as Christians is measured by the way we live our lives. By how closely we can be within the confines of the Bible, how closely we live our lives as God would have us to do. So that's why my topic this evening is be not deceived. Let us notice Galatians 6 and 7. Paul penned these words to the Galatian brethren. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We ought to be careful about what we sow and to whom we sow those things to. If I were to take a watermelon seed and I were to plant that seed, and if I groom that, nurture it right, and I water it and do everything that's necessary to bring it up right, I would fully expect to receive a watermelon. I would not expect to receive an apple. If I received an apple, then something is wrong. Somebody sold me the wrong seed. Same thing applies with us as humans, as humanity. We think that we're just not going to reap those things that we dish out. That is not the case. And sometimes we often mistake this verse for saying that we're going to reap it instantly. It does not happen just like that. You will reap what you sow, but it might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen the next day. It might not happen in this life. But you will reap it. If you continue to sow evil things, there is a place called eternity where we will be at. and you will either be in heaven or you will be in hell. So if you sow evil things, I would hope that you will reap those things in this life. That way you can learn from your mistakes and hopefully come to the gospel of Jesus Christ and repent of those things and correct yourself before it's everlasting too late. Let us notice 1 Corinthians 15:33. Paul penned these words to the Corinthian brethren. He says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. We ought to be careful about the company that we keep and who we choose as our companions. Well, I know that we all here believe that we are just the best of Christians. And I know that it's very hard to believe that hanging around certain people could bring us down. But I assure you that it makes it possible if you surround yourself with people that continuously do bad things that they can bring you down. If I were to stand next to my father and we were to stand side by side, he's about 5'9", I'm 6'1". If I were to stand next to him and I have to lift him up or him pull me down, who do you think is going to win that battle? I know you trust in me and I'm a very big guy. He's not as big as I am, but it is easier to pull a person down rather than it is to lift a person up. Let us notice 1 Corinthians 3:18. Paul wrote, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he be wise. We ought to be careful not to be too puffed up of our own vain conceit of our own wisdom. If a man has to tell you or a woman has to tell you that they are wise, that person is a fool. You do not have to tell anybody that you are wise. They will see it by the fruits of your labor. Being deceived is a serious problem with serious consequences. It does not matter whether one is being deceived by others or one is being deceived by oneself. It does not end well. Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Christians can be blind. This is not just talking about anybody. It speaks to everyone. Christians can be blind also. If you don't study the word of God diligently as you ought to, sometimes we as Christians can, when people ask us questions, we can be sometimes slip up and just give our opinion. We are not to give our opinion. We are to speak from the word of God. We can lead others to eternal damnation. We ought to be careful that we all have an influence, and we must be careful about those things that we say out of our mouths. We must stick to the word of God. The word deceived in both Galatians 6:7 and 1 Corinthians 15:33 is the Greek word planao. It means to properly cause to roam from safety, from truth, from virtue, to go astray, to deceive, to err, to wander, to be out of the way. It is translated as err in James 5:19, as it describes one who has erred away from God and into a sinful state, and if unconverted, it will damn one's soul. So let us know it's just a few things that we ought not to be deceived about. First, we ought not to be deceived about material things. Material things are just temporary. Our treasures are to be stored in heaven and not on this earth. Let us notice Matthew 6:19-21. Brother Martrell, if you could read that. Matthew 6:19-21. Yes, sir. So where your heart is, there, where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. Spiritual things must be first. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So not only are material things temporary, material things have no value beyond this life. And I'm just going to give you a few verses that back that very point up. Let us notice 1 Timothy 6:7-8. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We have to learn to be content. Let us notice Luke 12, 16 through 21. Brother Marchell, if you could read that for me. Luke 12.
Mm-hmm. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Mm-hmm. And he said, this is what I do. I will pour down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is, he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Okay, and Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How valuable is your soul? How valuable is your soul? I don't know about you, but there is nothing on this earth that can replace my soul, that I would give in exchange for my soul. Nothing. Why are people deceived about material things? Because they believe the acquisition of those things will give them status, that it will make them more important. They believe that it will make their lives easier. They believe that it will bring them happiness. Well, they are not. They must truly not know the definition of happiness. If they believe that all these, the acquisition of these material things will bring them joy and happiness. However, the Bible reveals just the opposite effect. Paul describes many who fall into snares and hurtful lusts. Let us notice 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 11. Timothy is told to flee those material things. Brother Marcello, if you could read that for me. For the what, Brother Marchell?
The love of money.
Okay.
Is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. Which while some covered out, they are erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Yes, sir. Timothy is told to flee those material things. Jesus and his encounter with the rich ruler led him to having all his wealth and going away sorrowful. Let us notice Matthew 19 and verse 22.
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
So I guess there was something that money could not buy. He went away sorrowful, but he had great things. He was rich. He had great things. There's something that money cannot buy. Let us notice our next point, the gospel of salvation. There are facts to be believed about the gospel. Several things to note. Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren that there could be no other gospel. In Galatians 1, 6 and 7, it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul wrote the same thing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 3. As I besought thee to buy the still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There is no other doctrine. There is only one teaching. The gospel is God's power. Let us notice Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. That word power there is the Greek word dunamis. And it's where we get our English word dynamic and dynamite from. The gospel is the power of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, Corinthians, and revealed what the gospel is. Let us notice 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. Brother Marchell, if you could read that.
Mm-hmm. Of that of all
buried, and rose again. The gospel means good news. What can be good about one suffering, dying, and being buried and rising again? There's three words that would make that very thing good. For our sin. That is the good news. Paul mentions the facts of the gospel that are to be believed. What are those facts? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How can one obey these facts? There are commands to be obeyed. Paul says to those at Rome that they have believed from the heart that form of doctrine. Romans 6:17, let us notice that. Brother Martrell, if you could read that. So we obey from the heart. When we come here to worship, we worship from the heart. It doesn't matter what you are saying out of your mouth. Is it in your heart? Is it in your heart? Sometimes we can sit idle and we can not actually be worshiping. It just becomes a repetition type of thing. It's in the heart. Paul said he delivered something to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What did he deliver to them? The gospel which he had also received, the DBR of Christ. Now he tells them that they had obeyed a form of tupos, which is a likeness, a pattern, a resemblance, a model for imitation. They had imitated those things that they believed regarding Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Consider what Paul said earlier in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us were as baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Those people that he was speaking to were not going to be deceived, and therefore they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter warned the dangers of failing to obey the gospel. In the destruction coming on in Jerusalem. Let us notice 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, Paul will later reveal that. He will later reveal what it means to not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and what is coming on in the last day. Let us notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 7 through 9. Read that for me, Brother Martrell, when you get it. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9.
And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with mighty angels, and flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to the glory.
So there it is. There it is. That's what it means not to obey. That's what's going to happen when you do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in the last day when he comes. It says those who he will take vengeance on those who know not God. What does that mean? To know not God. What, you heard of him? Is that what it means? Maybe you were at church? No, but you have to be diligent. You have to know the characteristics of God. You have to know all that he commands us to do. That's what this verse is talking about. He will take vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel. So not only were there commands to be obeyed, but there are promises and blessings to be received as well. Once you believe the facts, obey the commands, you will receive the blessings. The promise of salvation and all spiritual blessings are found in Jesus Christ. If you are here this afternoon, and you are a member or maybe just not a, you haven't yet obeyed the gospel of Christ first, if you fall short, we want you to come make yourself right tonight. We oftentimes take for granted what we have, and we are not guaranteed the next moment. not guaranteed the next moment. How sad would it be for us to not hear the gospel, for us to hear the gospel and not obey it? How sad is that? Many people do that. Many people will hear it. They will know the truth, but yet not obey it. If you are a person here and you have not yet been saved, we urge you to do so. You have heard the gospel this morning, which is one of the commands that God tells us, Romans 10:17. He tells us that we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We must repent of our sins, put that old man off and leave those past things that we were doing behind, Luke 13:3-5. We must confess God, Jesus, to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And we must also then be baptized in the watery graves of baptism for remissions of our sin. And then we can walk and rise as a new man in Jesus Christ. Let us not be deceived anymore. Let us be diligent. Let us be stewards of the word of God. And let us equip ourselves for the war that is coming on. If you are a person that stands in need of the invitation, we ask that you do so now as we together stand and sing invitation song.